foods available to us today, we can devise diets and menus with better nutrient density and nutrient diversity than ever before. This book gives you the information and the motivation you need to take advantage of this opportunity to improve your health and maximize your chances for a disease-free life. You have a clear choice. You can live longer and healthier than ever before, or you can do what most modern populations do: eat to create disease and a premature death. Since you are reading this book, you have opted to live longer and healthier. Eat to live, and you will achieve a happier and more pleasurable life. Chapter 2. Overfed, Yet Malnourished. The Effects of the American Diet, Part 2. Case Study. Charlotte lost 130 pounds and reversed her heart disease and diabetes. I had been heavy since childhood. It would be easy to blame my problems on heredity, since there is a history of obesity, heart disease, and diabetes on both sides of my family. Through the years, I tried many diets with only minimal and never lasting success. I reached a top weight of 263 pounds on a 5 foot 4 inch frame and had resigned myself to forever being a plus size woman. I was diagnosed with type 2 diabetes, along with hypertension and high cholesterol, after suffering a stroke at age 56. To control all these ills, I was prescribed medications that I was expected to take for life. About a year after the stroke, I was diagnosed with a serious form of tachycardia that required immediate medical attention. I ended up with 2 heart stents because of a 95% blockage and more prescriptions. I avoided seeing doctors because, although they lectured me about my weight, the only solution they offered was a calorie-restricted version of the standard American diet, on which I was always hungry and miserable. My husband, Clarence, searched the internet for ways to help me become healthier and found Dr. Furman and his book, Eat to Live, which claimed dramatic results through dietary changes. I quickly shed pounds, and my lab test results improved. Although my diabetes was controlled to the satisfaction of my doctors, Dr. Furman said the first priority was to get rid of it completely through nutritional excellence. No physician I had seen had ever mentioned this as a possibility. Now, about a year and a half later, I am no longer diabetic and have had no further heart problems. My fasting blood sugar average is 79 without treatment. Since July 29, 2003, my total cholesterol has dropped from 219 to 130. My triglycerides are down from 174 to 73, and my LDL cholesterol has gone from 149 to 70. My current weight is around 130, slightly less than half my maximum. As hard as it is to imagine, the last time I was this weight, I was under age 12. Less measurable but important benefits are that I no longer snore, have more energy, and have increased resistance to colds and flus that previously wore me down. There are many things I can do more easily now versus before when I was so overweight. I owe all these positive changes to Dr. Furman's Eat to Live program. I still have a hearty appetite, but my relationship to food is far less addictive. People may think I have lost weight through willpower, but that's not true. If I'd had any willpower, I would never have become so large in the first place. The Eat to Live program takes time and effort, but for me, the results have been well worth it. Now you know my formula for longevity, H equals N over C, and that the key to this formula is the nutrient density of your diet. In other words, you must eat a diet rich in nutrients and fiber, with a very low percentage of foods that are not nutrient and fiber dense. It is the same formula that will enable your body to achieve slimness. To help you learn how to apply this formula to your life, you first need to understand why you must follow it, exploring the relationships between diet, health, and disease. To do so, you need to take a look at the reality of how most people eat and what they gain or lose from such eating practices. The pros and cons of our natural sweet tooth. Even though we have many unique human traits, we are genetically closely related to the great apes and other primates. Primates are the only animals on the face of the earth that can taste sweet and see color. We were designed by nature to see, grasp, eat, and enjoy the flavor of colorful, sweet fruits. Fruit is an essential part of our diets. It is an indispensable requirement for us to maintain a high level of health. Fruit consumption has been shown in numerous studies to offer our strongest protection against certain cancers, especially oral and esophageal, lung, prostate, pancreatic, and colorectal cancer. Thankfully, our natural sweet tooth directs us to those foods ideally designed for our primate heritage. Fruit. Fresh fruit offers us powerful, health-giving benefits. Researchers have discovered substances in fruit that have unique effects on preventing aging and deterioration of the brain. Some fruits, especially blueberries, are rich in anthocyanins and other compounds having anti-aging effects. Studies continue to provide evidence that, more than any other food, fruit is associated with lowered mortality from all cancers combined. Eating fruit is vital to your health, well-being, and long life. Regrettably, our human desire for sweets is typically satisfied by the consumption of products containing sugar, such as candy bars and ice cream, not fresh fruit. The U.S. Department of Agriculture, USDA, estimates that the typical American now consumes an unbelievable 30 teaspoons of added sugar a day. That's right, in one day. As we shall see, we need to satisfy our sweet tooth with fresh, natural fruits and other plant substances that supply us not just with carbohydrates for energy, but also with the full complement of indispensable substances that prevent illness. Nutritional lightweights, pasta and white bread. Unlike the fruits found in nature, which have a full ensemble of nutrients, processed carbohydrates, such as bread, pasta, and cake, are deficient in fiber, phytonutrients, vitamins, and minerals, all of which have been lost in processing. Compared with whole wheat, typical pasta and bread are missing 62% of the zinc, 72% of the magnesium, 95% of the vitamin E, 50% of the folic acid, 72% of the chromium, 78% of the vitamin B6, and 78% of the fiber. In a 6-year study of 65,000 women, those with diets high in refined carbohydrates from white bread, white rice, and pasta had 2.5 times the incidence of type 2 diabetes compared with those who ate high-fiber foods such as whole wheat bread and brown rice. These findings were replicated in a study of 43,000 men. Diabetes is no trivial problem. It is the 7th leading cause of death by disease in America, and its incidence is growing. The co-author of those two studies finds the results so convincing that he'd like our government to change the food guide pyramid. Walter Willett, MD, chairman of the Department of Nutrition at the Harvard School of Public Health, questions the placement of empty carbohydrates. They should move refined grains like white bread up to the sweets category because, metabolically, they're basically the same, he says. These starchy, white flour foods, removed from nature's packaging, are no longer real food. The fiber and the majority of minerals have been removed, so such foods are absorbed too rapidly, resulting in a sharp glucose surge into the bloodstream. The pancreas is then forced to pump out insulin faster to keep up. Excess body fat also causes us to require more insulin from the pancreas. Over time, it is the excessive demand for insulin placed on the pancreas from both refined foods and increased body fat that leads to diabetes. Refined carbohydrates, white flour, sweets, and even fruit juices, because they enter the bloodstream so quickly, can also raise triglycerides, increasing the risk of heart attack in susceptible individuals. Every time you eat such processed foods, you exclude from your diet not only the essential nutrients that we are aware of, but hundreds of other undiscovered phytonutrients that are crucial for normal human function. When the nutrient-rich outer cover is removed from whole wheat to make it into white flour, the most nutritious part of the food is lost. The outer portion of the wheat kernel contains trace minerals, phytoestrogens, lignans, phytic acid, indoles, phenolic compounds, and other phytochemicals, as well as almost all the vitamin E in the food. True whole grain foods, which are associated with longer life, are vastly different from the processed foods that make up the bulk of calories in the modern American diet, MAD. Medical investigations clearly show the dangers of consuming the quantity of processed foods that we do. And because these refined grains lack the fiber and nutrient density to satisfy our appetite, they also cause obesity, diabetes, heart disease, and significantly increased cancer risk. One 9-year study involving 34,492 women between the ages of 55 and 69 showed a 2/3 increase in the risk of death from heart disease in those eating refined grains. Summarizing 15 epidemiological studies, researchers concluded that diets containing refined grains and refined sweets were consistently linked to stomach and colon cancer, and at least 15 breast cancer studies connect low-fiber diets with increased risks. Eating a diet that contains a significant quantity of sugar and refined flour does not just cause weight gain, it also leads to an earlier death. Refined foods are linked to oral cavity cancer, thyroid cancer, stomach cancer, respiratory tract cancer, colorectal cancer, diabetes, intestinal cancer, gallbladder disease, breast cancer, and heart disease. If you want to lose weight, the most important foods to avoid are processed foods, condiments, candy, snacks, and baked goods. Fat-free has nothing to do with it. Almost all weight loss authorities agree on this. You must cut out the refined carbohydrates, including bagels, pasta, and bread. As far as the human body is concerned, low-fiber carbohydrates such as pasta are almost as damaging as white sugar. Pasta is not health food. It is hurt food. Now I can imagine what many of you are thinking. But Dr. Furman, I love pasta. Do I have to give it up? I enjoy eating pasta too. Pasta can sometimes be used in small quantities in a recipe that includes lots of green vegetables, onions, mushrooms, and tomatoes. Whole grain pastas and bean pastas, found in health food stores, are better choices than those made from white flour. The point to remember is that all refined grains must be placed in that limited category, foods that should constitute only a small percentage of our total caloric intake. What about bagels? Is the whole wheat bagel you just bought at the bagel store really made from whole grain? No, in most cases it is primarily white flour. It is hard to tell sometimes. 99% of pastas, breads, cookies, pretzels, and other grain products are made from white flour. Sometimes a little whole wheat or caramel color is added, and the product is called whole wheat to make you think it is the real thing. It isn't. Most brown bread is merely white bread with a fake tan. Wheat grown on American soil is not a nutrient-dense food to begin with, but then the food manufacturers remove the most valuable part of the food and add bleach, preservatives, salt, sugar, and food coloring to make breads, breakfast cereals, and other convenience foods. Yet many Americans consider such food healthful merely because it is low in fat. Soil depletion of nutrients is not the problem. Our food choices are. Contrary to many of the horror stories you hear, our soil is not depleted of nutrients. California, Washington, Oregon, Texas, Florida, and other states still have rich, fertile land that produces most of our fruits, vegetables, beans, nuts, and seeds. America provides some of the most nutrient-rich produce in the world. Our government publishes nutritional analyses of foods. It takes food from a variety of supermarkets across the country, analyzes it, and publishes the results. Contrary to claims of many health food and supplement enthusiasts, the produce grown in this country is nutrient-rich and high in trace minerals, especially in beans, nuts, seeds, fruits, and vegetables. American-produced grains, however, do not have the mineral density of vegetables. Grains and animal feed crops grown in the southeastern states are the most deficient, but even in those states, only a small percentage of crops are shown to be deficient in minerals. Thankfully, by eating a diet with a wide variety of natural plant foods from a variety of soils, the threat of nutritional deficiency merely as a result of soil inadequacy is eliminated. Americans are not nutrient deficient because of our depleted soil, as some nutritional supplement proponents claim. Americans are nutrient deficient because they do not eat a sufficient quantity of fresh produce. Over 90% of the calories consumed by Americans come from refined foods or animal products. With such a small percentage of our diet consisting of unrefined plant foods, how could we not become nutrient deficient? Since more than 40% of the calories in the American diet are derived from sugar or refined grains, both of which are nutrient depleted, Americans are severely malnourished. Refined sugars cause us to be malnourished in direct proportion to how much we consume them. They are partially to blame for the high cancer and heart attack rates we see in America. It is not merely dental cavities that should concern us about sugar. If we allow ourselves and our children to utilize sugar, white flour products, and oil to supply the majority of calories, as most American families do, we condemn ourselves to a lifetime of sickness and medical problems, ending in premature death. Refined sugars include table sugar, sucrose, milk sugar, lactose, honey, brown sugar, high fructose corn syrup, molasses, corn sweeteners, and fruit juice concentrates. Even the bottled and boxed fruit juices that many children drink are a poor food with no significant nutrient density. They lead to obesity and disease. Processed apple juice, which is not far from sugar water in its nutrient score, accounts for almost 50% of all fruit servings consumed by preschoolers. For example, apple juice contains none of the vitamin C originally present in the whole apple. Oranges make the most nutritious juice, but even orange juice can't compare with the original orange. In citrus fruits, most of the anti-cancer compounds are present in the membranes and pulp, which are removed in processing juice. Those cardboard containers of orange juice contain less than 10% of the vitamin C present in an orange, and even less of the fiber and phytochemicals. Juice is not fruit, and prepackaged juices do not contain even 1/10 of the nutrients present in fresh fruit. Processed carbohydrates, lacking in fiber, fail to slow sugar absorption, causing wide swings in glucose levels. Empty calories are empty calories. Cookies, jams, and other processed foods, even those from the health food store, sweetened with fruit juice, sound healthier but are just as bad as white sugar products. When fruit juice is concentrated and used as a sweetener, the healthy nutritional components are stripped away. What's left is plain sugar. To your body, there is not much difference between refined sugar, fruit juice sweeteners, honey, fruit juice concentrate, and any other concentrated sweetener. Our sweet tooth has been put there by nature to have us enjoy and consume real fruit, not some imitation. Fresh squeezed orange juice and other fresh vegetable juices are relatively healthy foods that contain the majority of the original vitamins and minerals. But sweet fruit juices and even carrot juice should still be used only moderately, as they still contain a high concentration of sugar calories and no fiber. They are not an ideal food for those desiring to lose weight. I often use these juices as part of salad dressings and other dishes, rather than alone as a drink. Fresh fruits and even dried fruits do contain an assortment of protective nutrients and phytochemicals, so stick with the real thing. Lester Trabant's yearly checkup. My patient, Les Trabant, came in for his yearly checkup. He was not overweight and had been following a vegetarian diet for years. I did a dietary review of what he ate regularly. He was eating healthy flaxseed waffles for breakfast, lots of pasta, whole wheat bread, and vegan, no animal products, prepared frozen meals on a regular basis. I spent about 30 minutes pointing out that he was certainly not following my dietary recommendations for excellent health and presented him with some menu suggestions and an outline of my nutritional prescription for superior health, which he agreed to follow. 12 weeks later, he had lost about 8 pounds, and I rechecked his lipid profile because I didn't like the results we received from the blood test taken the day of his checkup. The results speak for themselves. Cholesterol dropped from 230 to 174, triglycerides from 226 to 57, HDL from 55 to 78, LDL 130 to 84, and the cholesterol HDL ratio of 4.18 dropped to 2.23. Enrichment with nutrients is a house made of straw. White or enriched rice is just as bad as white bread and pasta. It is nutritionally bankrupt. You might as well just eat the Uncle Ben's cardboard box it comes in. Refining the rice removes the same important factors, fiber, minerals, phytochemicals, and vitamin E. So, when you eat grains, eat whole grains. Refining foods removes so much nutrition that our government requires that a few synthetic vitamins and minerals be added back. Such foods are labeled as enriched or fortified. Whenever you see those words on a package, it means important nutrients are missing. Refining foods lowers the amount of hundreds of known nutrients, yet usually only 5 to 10 are added back by fortification. As we change food through processing and refining, we rob the food of certain health-supporting substances and often create unhealthy compounds, thus making it a more unfit food for human consumption. As a general rule of thumb, the closer we eat foods to their natural state, the healthier the food. Not all whole wheat products are equal. Whole grain foods are not always nutrient-dense, healthy foods. Many whole grain cold cereals are so processed that they do not have a significant fiber per serving ratio and have lost most of their nutritional value. Eating fragmented and unbalanced foods causes many problems, especially for those trying to lose weight. Whole wheat that is finely ground and is absorbed into the bloodstream fairly rapidly and should not be considered as wholesome as more coarsely ground and grittier whole grains. The rapid rise of glucose triggers fat storage hormones. Because the more coarsely ground grains are absorbed more slowly, they curtail our appetite better. Whole grain hot cereals are less processed than cold cereals and come up with better nutritional scores. They can be soaked in water overnight, so you do not have to cook them in the morning. Unlike eating whole grain foods, ingesting processed foods can subtract nutrients and actually create nutritional deficiencies as the body utilizes nutrients to digest and assimilate food. If the mineral demands of digestion and assimilation are greater than the nutrients supplied by the food, we may end up with a deficit, a drain on our nutrient reserve funds. For most of their lives, the diets of many American adults and children are severely deficient in plant-derived nutrients. I have drawn nutrient levels on thousands of patients and have become shocked at the dismal levels in supposedly healthy people. Our bodies are not immune to immutable biological laws that govern cellular function. Given enough time, disease will develop. Even borderline deficiencies can result in various subtle defects in human health, leading to anxiety, autoimmune disorders, cancer, and poor eyesight, to name a few. Fat and refined carbohydrates, married to your waist. The body converts food fat into body fat quickly and easily. 100 calories of ingested fat can be converted to 97 calories of body fat by burning a measly 3 calories. Fat is an appetite stimulant. The more you eat, the more you want. If a food could be scientifically engineered to create an obese society, it would have fat, such as butter, mixed with sugar and flour. The combination of fat and refined carbohydrates has an extremely powerful effect on driving the signals that promote fat accumulation on the body. Refined foods cause a swift and excessive rise in blood sugar, which in turn triggers insulin surges to drive the sugar out of the blood and into our cells. Unfortunately, insulin also promotes the storage of fat on the body and encourages your fat cells to swell. As more fat is packed away in the body, it interferes with insulin uptake into our muscle tissues. Our pancreas then senses that the glucose level in the bloodstream is still too high and pumps out even more insulin. A little extra fat around our midsection results in so much interference with insulin's effectiveness that 2 to 5 times as much insulin may be secreted in an overweight person than in a thin person. The higher level of insulin in turn promotes more efficient conversion of our caloric intake into body fat, and this vicious cycle continues. People get heavier and heavier as time goes on. Eating refined carbohydrates, as opposed to complex carbohydrates in their natural state, causes the body's set point for body weight to increase. Your set point is the weight the body tries to maintain through the brain's control of hormonal messengers. When you eat refined fats, oils, or refined carbohydrates, such as white flour and sugar, the fat-storing hormones are produced in excess, raising the set point. To further compound the problem, because so much of the vitamin and mineral content of these foods has been lost during processing, you naturally crave more food to make up for the missing nutrients. Our oil-rich country, or from your lips right to your hips. An effective way to sabotage your weight loss goal is with high-fat dressings and sauces. Americans consume 60 grams of added fat in the form of oils, which is over 500 calories a day from this form of no-fiber, empty calories. Refined or extracted oils, including olive oil, are rich in calories and low in nutrients. Oils are 100% fat. Like all other types of fat, they contain 9 calories per gram compared with 4 calories per gram for carbohydrates. There are lots of calories in just a little bit of oil. Analysis of 1 tablespoon of olive oil. Calories, 120. Fiber, none. Protein, none. Fat, 13.5 grams. Saturated fat, 1.8 grams. Minerals, none. Trace, less than 0.01 milligram of every mineral. And vitamins, none. Trace of vitamin E, less than 1 IU. Fat, such as olive oil, can be stored on your body within minutes without costing the body any caloric price. It is just packed away, unchanged, on your hips and waist. If we biopsied your waist fat and looked at it under an electron microscope, we could actually see where the fat came from. It is stored there as pig fat, dairy fat, and olive oil fat, just as it was in the original food. It goes from your lips right to your hips. Actually, more fat from your last meal is deposited around your waist than on your hips for both men and women. Analyzing these body fat deposits is an accurate way for research scientists to discern food intake over time. Having research subjects remember what they ate, dietary recall analysis, is not as accurate as a tissue biopsy, which reports exactly what was really eaten. Foods cooked in oil or coated with oil soak up more oil than you think. A low-calorie, healthy food easily becomes fattening. Most Americans eat negligible amounts of salad vegetables, but when they do eat a small salad, they consume about 3 leaves of iceberg lettuce in a small bowl and then proceed to pour 3 or 4 tablespoons of oily dressing on top. Since oil is about 120 calories per tablespoon, they consume some 400 empty calories from dressing and about 18 from lettuce. They might as well forget the lettuce and just drink the dressing straight from the bottle. One key to your success is to make healthful salad dressings from my recipes in Chapter 9 or use other low-calorie and low-salt options. The message Americans are hearing today from the media and health professionals is that you don't need to go on a low-fat diet, you merely need to replace the bad fats, saturated fats, mostly from animal products and trans fats in processed foods, with olive oil. Americans are still confused and receive conflicting and incorrect messages. Olive oil and other salad and cooking oils are not health foods and are certainly not diet foods. There is considerable evidence to suggest that consuming monounsaturated fats, such as olive oil, is less destructive to your health than the dangerous saturated and trans fats. But a lower-fat diet could be more dangerous than one with a higher level of fat if the lower-fat diet has more saturated and trans fats. Also, reducing fat and adding more low-nutrient carbohydrates, such as bread, white flour, pasta, white rice, and white potatoes, is not a significant improvement in nutritional quality. Low fat does not mean nutritious and healthful. In the 1950s, people living in the Mediterranean, especially on the island of Crete, were lean and virtually free of heart disease. Yet over 40% of their caloric intake came from fat, primarily olive oil. If we look at the diet they consumed back then, we note that the Cretans ate mostly fruit, vegetables, beans, and some fish. Saturated fat was less than 6% of their total fat intake. True, they ate lots of olive oil, but the rest of their diet was exceptionally healthy. They also worked hard in the fields, walking about 9 miles a day, often pushing a plow or working other manual farm equipment. Americans didn't take home the message to eat loads of vegetables, beans, and fruits and do loads of exercise. They just accepted that olive oil is a health food. Today, the people of Crete are fat, just like us. They're still eating a lot of olive oil, but their consumption of fruits, vegetables, and beans is down. Meat, cheese, and fish are their new staples, and their physical activity level has plummeted. Today, heart disease has skyrocketed, and more than half the population of both adults and children in Crete is overweight. Even two of the most enthusiastic proponents of the Mediterranean diet, epidemiologist Martin Katten of Wageningen Agricultural University in the Netherlands and Walter Willett of the Harvard School of Public Health, concede that the Mediterranean diet is viable only for people who are close to their ideal weight. That excludes the majority of Americans. How can a diet revolving around a fattening, nutrient-deficient food like olive oil be healthy? Ounce for ounce, olive oil is one of the most fattening, calorically dense foods on the planet. It packs even more calories per pound than butter. Butter, 3,200 calories. Olive oil, 4,020. The bottom line is that oil will add fat to our already plump waistlines, heightening the risk of disease, including diabetes and heart attacks. Olive oil contains 14% saturated fat, so you increase the amount of artery-clogging saturated fat as you consume more of it. I believe consuming more fattening olive oil in your diet will raise your LDL, bad cholesterol, not lower it. Weight gain raises your cholesterol. Unprocessed foods such as nuts, seeds, and vegetables, utilized as a source of fat and calories instead of oil, contain phytosterols and other natural substances that lower cholesterol. Also, keep in mind that in Italy, where they consume all that supposedly healthful olive oil, people have twice the chance of getting breast cancer as in Japan, where they have a significantly lower intake of oil. The Mediterranean diet looked better than ours because of the increased consumption of vegetation, not because of the oil. People who use olive oil generally put it on vegetables such as salads and tomatoes, so its use is correlated with higher consumption of produce. Their diets were better in spite of the oil consumption, not because of it. If you are thin and exercise a lot, 1 tablespoon of olive oil a day is no big deal, but the best choice for most overweight Americans is no oil at all. The popularity of the Mediterranean diet. I have only a few bones to pick with those advocating the Mediterranean diet style. First, they claim that cooking food in olive oil increases phytochemical absorption and that eating vegetables without a high-fat topping is not as nutritious since the phytochemicals are not absorbed. When vegetables are cooked or eaten with fat, some nutrients are more efficiently absorbed and other heat-sensitive nutrients are lost or rendered less absorbable. Many studies show that raw fruits and vegetables offer the highest blood levels of cancer-protective nutrients and the most protection against cancer of any other foods, including cooked vegetation. Any advice not recognizing that raw vegetables and fresh fruit are the two most powerful anti-cancer categories of foods is off the mark. Plus, when you use raw seeds and nuts instead of oil, you receive dramatic health benefits without all the empty calories because of the high micronutrient content. Paul Talalay, MD of the Brassica Chemoprotection Laboratory at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, is involved with researching the effects of cooking on phytochemicals. He reports widely different effects on the compounds in vegetables that protect against cancer. These compounds are both activated and destroyed by various cooking methods. I recognize that raw, uncooked vegetables and fruits offer the most powerful protection against disease, and I encourage my patients to eat huge salads and at least 4 fresh fruits per day. Diets with little raw foods are not ideal. As the amount of raw fruits and vegetables are increased in a person's diet, weight loss and blood pressure are lowered effortlessly. Additionally, raw foods contain enzymes, some of which can survive the digestive process in the stomach and pass into the small intestines. These heat-sensitive elements may offer significant nutritional advantages to protect against disease, according to investigators from the Department of Biochemistry at Wright State University School of Medicine. These researchers concluded that most foods undergo a decrease in nutritive value in addition to the well-known loss of vitamins when cooked and/or processed. Most vitamins are heat-sensitive. For example, 20-60% of vitamin C is lost, depending on the cooking method. 30-40% of minerals are lost in cooking vegetables as well. Consuming a significant quantity of raw foods is essential for superior health. For the best results, your diet should contain a huge amount of raw foods, a large amount of the less calorically dense cooked vegetation, and a lesser amount of the more calorically rich cooked starchy vegetables and grains. Cooking your food in olive oil will make your diet less effective, and you will not lose weight as easily. You may not even lose any weight at all. Keep in mind, weight loss slows down over time. Most people starting almost any diet after eating haphazardly lose some weight initially. It is easy to drop a few pounds by merely counting calories, but many overweight individuals with a strong genetic tendency to obesity and slow metabolism who need to lose lots of weight may lose very little or none at all. Some may lose an initial 5 to 15 pounds, but then when further weight loss becomes even more difficult, they give up. Another problem with the Mediterranean diet is the preponderance of pasta and Italian bread, which not only causes difficulty with weight control, but is also an important factor in increasing colon cancer risk in populations with this eating style. For the very overweight individual, the Mediterranean diet, like other conventional weight loss programs, is neither restrictive enough nor filling enough to achieve the results desired. Because olive oil adds so many extra calories to their diet, the dieters still have to carefully count calories and eat tiny portions. All those calories supplied by olive oil, almost 1/3 of the total caloric intake, make their diet significantly lower in nutrients and fiber. You can always lose weight by exercising more, and I am all for it. However, many very overweight patients are too ill and too heavy to exercise much. As a former athlete, and today as a physician, I am an exercise nut and a fanatic about recommending exercise to my patients, but many people cannot comply with a substantial exercise program until they are in better health or lose some more weight first. They need a diet that will drop weight effectively, even if they can't do lots of exercise. I have tested my recommendation on more than 2,000 patients. The average patient loses the most weight in the first 4 to 6 weeks, with the average being about 20 pounds. The weight loss continues nicely. Those following this program continue to lose about 10 pounds the second month and about 1.5 pounds per week thereafter. the weight loss continues at this comparatively quick rate until they reach their ideal weight. The bottom line about healthy fats is that raw nuts, seeds, and avocados contain healthy fats. However, you should consume a limited amount of these foods, especially if you wish to lose weight. Also, remember that oil, including olive oil, does not contain the nutrients and phytonutrients that were in the original olive. The oil has little nutrients, except a little vitamin E, and a negligible amount of phytochemical compounds. If you eat the quantities of oil permitted on the typical Mediterranean diet, where all vegetables are cooked in oil, you will have difficulty taking off the weight you need to lose. You can add a little bit of olive oil to your diet if you are thin and exercise a lot. However, using a small amount of raw seeds and nuts in salad dressings and dips is a better, more healthful option. Plus, the more oil you add, the more you are lowering the nutrient per calorie density of your diet, and that is not your objective, as it does not promote health. The magic of fiber, a critical nutrient. When we think of fiber, we usually think of bran or Metamucil, something that we take to prevent constipation and that tastes like cardboard. Change that thinking. Fiber is a vital nutrient, essential to human health. Unfortunately, the American diet is dangerously deficient in fiber, a deficiency that leads to many health problems, for example, hemorrhoids, constipation, varicose veins, and diabetes, and is a major cause of cancer. As you can see, if you get fiber naturally in your diet from great-tasting food, you get much more than just constipation relief. How your body benefits from the fiber found in plant foods. Fewer hormonal imbalances. Stronger immune system. Slows down the rate of glucose absorption. Less risk of hemorrhoids and constipation. Fewer abnormal physiological cravings. Less risk of varicose veins. Prevents diabetes. When you eat mostly natural plant foods, such as fruits, vegetables, and beans, you get large amounts of various types of fiber. These foods are rich in complex carbohydrates and both insoluble and water-soluble fibers. The fibers slow down glucose absorption and control the rate of digestion. Plant fibers have complex physiological effects in the digestive tract that offer a variety of benefits, such as lowering cholesterol. Because of fiber, and because precious food components haven't been lost through processing, natural plant foods fill you up and do not cause abnormal physiological cravings or hormonal imbalances. Confusion in the marketplace over the role of fiber. Some people are so confused that they do not know what to believe anymore. For example, two studies about fiber received sensational coverage by the media after appearing in the New England Journal of Medicine. Newspapers proclaimed the bold headlines, "High-fiber diet does not protect against colon cancer." No wonder our population is so confused by conflicting messages about nutrition. Some people have actually given up trying to eat healthfully because one day they hear one claim and the next week they hear the opposite. There's a lesson to be learned here. Don't get your health advice from the media. I am bringing up this issue so you realize not to jump to conclusions on the basis of one study or one news report. You can see how research information is often misreported in the news. I have reviewed more than 2,000 nutritional research papers in preparation for this book, and many more in prior years, and there is not much conflicting evidence. As in a trial, the evidence has become overwhelming and irrefutable. High-fiber foods offer significant protection against both cancer, including colon cancer, and heart disease. I didn't say fiber. I said high-fiber foods. We can't just add a high-fiber candy bar or sprinkle a little Metamucil on our donut and french fries and expect to reap the benefits of eating high-fiber foods, yet this is practically what the first study did. The studies mentioned above did not show that a diet high in fresh fruits, vegetables, beans, whole grains, and raw nuts and seeds does not protect against colon cancer. It has already been adequately demonstrated in hundreds of observational studies that such a diet does offer such protection from cancer at multiple sites, including the colon. The first study merely added a fiber supplement to the diet. I wouldn't expect adding a 13.5-gram fiber supplement to the disease-causing American diet to do anything. It is surprising that this study was actually conducted. Obviously, adding supplemental fiber does not capture the essence of a diet rich in these protective plant foods. The second study compared controls against a group of people who were counseled on improving their diet. The participants continued to follow their usual disease-causing diet and made only a moderate dietary change, a slight reduction in fat intake, with a modest increase in fruits and vegetables for 4 years. The number of colorectal adenomas 4 years later was similar. Colorectal adenomas are not colon cancer. They are benign polyps. Only a very small percentage of these polyps ever advance to become colon cancer, and the clinical significance of small benign adenomas is not clear. In any case, it is a huge leap to claim that a diet high in fruits and vegetables does not protect against cancer. This study did not even attempt to address colon cancer, just benign polyps that rarely progress to cancer. In both studies, even the group supposedly consuming a high fiber intake were on a low-fiber diet by my standards. The group consuming the most fiber only ate 25 grams of fiber a day. A high fiber intake is a marker of many anti-cancer properties of natural foods, especially phytochemicals. The diet plan I recommend is not based on any one study, but on more than 2,000 studies and the results I've seen with thousands of my own patients. Following this plan, you will consume between 50 and 100 grams of fiber from real food, not supplements, per day. In an editorial published in the same issue of the New England Journal of Medicine, Tim Byers, MD, MPH, basically agreed, stating, quote, "Observational studies around the world continue to find that the risk of colorectal cancer is lower among populations with high intakes of fruits and vegetables, and that the risk changes on adoption of a different diet," end quote. He further explained that the 3 or 4 year period assessed by these trials is too brief and cannot assess the effects of long-term dietary patterns that have already been shown to protect against colorectal cancer. The reality is that healthy, nutritious foods are also very rich in fiber, and that those foods associated with disease risk are generally fiber deficient. Meat and dairy products do not contain any fiber, and foods made from refined grains, such as white bread, white rice, and pasta, have had their fiber removed. Clearly, we must substantially reduce our consumption of these fiber-deficient foods if we expect to lose weight and live a long, healthy life. Fiber intake from food is a good marker of disease risk. The amount of fiber consumed may better predict weight gain, insulin levels, and other cardiovascular risk factors than does the amount of total fat consumed, according to studies reported in the Journal of the American Medical Association. Again, data show that removing the fiber from food is extremely dangerous. People who consume the most high-fiber foods are the healthiest, as determined by better waist measurements, lower insulin levels, and other markers of disease risk. Indeed, this is one of the key themes of this book. For anyone to consider his or her diet healthy, it must be predominantly composed of high-fiber, natural foods. It is not the fiber extracted from the plant package that has miraculous health properties. It is the entire plant package considered as a whole, containing nature's anti-cancer nutrients, as well as being rich in fiber. Chapter 3. Phytochemicals. Nature's Magic Pills. Case Study. Julia lost over 100 pounds and has turned her life around. After 3 heart attacks within 3 months and 5 angioplasties in a 3-year period, I knew my health was in a critical state. I almost died after the last angioplasty and had internal bleeding that was difficult to stop. The torture of all my medical problems made me think I would be better off if I had died. I weighed 225 pounds, suffered from unstable angina, and could not walk one block. I was on 10 medications and considered myself a cardiac cripple at the age of 60. Luckily, I learned about Dr. Furman and read his books. I felt as if it was my last chance to try to get back any quality of life. I was determined. Within 3 months of following his plan, my chest pain was gone, and I went from not being able to walk one block to being able to walk 2 miles with no problems. Within 7 months, I weighed 135 pounds. I had lost 90 pounds without even trying to lose weight. I just wanted to be healthier and live again. I continued with the plan and kept losing weight. I had always considered myself a vegetarian, but never liked vegetables. So at first, the whole vegetable thing was difficult for me. In the beginning, I ate a lot of the same things over and over again because I liked them the best. It probably took me a month to get over the toxic cravings. Then I began to enjoy the natural flavors of food, and I liked everything. Kale, which I had never tried before, became my favorite vegetable. I never felt hungry. I enjoy every day of my life now. I exercise. I garden. I cook. I do everything that I couldn't do for more than 10 years of my life. I look and feel healthy. It's wonderful. I'm having a love affair with a plant-based diet. When I think back to how sick I was, it is frightening. In addition to my cardiac ailments, I suffered from daily migraines and had bleeding ulcers from all the medications that I was on. Today, I weigh 120 pounds, walk 3 miles a day, go to yoga classes, and enjoy life immensely. I know I would not be able to be alive if it was not for Dr. Furman's program. I'm so grateful. You have to just do it. Keep your eyes on the prize. I always said that to myself every day. Think of what lies ahead. There are clear reasons why heart attacks and cancer prevail as our number one and number two killers. Let's examine them. The American diet, designed for disease. Americans currently consume about 25.5% of their calories from fiberless animal foods and another 62% from highly processed, refined carbohydrates and extracted oils. Almost half of all vegetables consumed are potatoes, and half of the potatoes consumed are in the form of fries or chips. Furthermore, potatoes are one of the least nutritious vegetables. The same studies that show the anti-cancer effects of green leafy vegetables and fruits and beans suggest that potato-heavy diets are not healthy and show a positive association with colon cancer. Possibly this association exists because of the way potatoes are consumed, fried or with butter or other dangerous fats. Excluding potatoes, Americans consume a mere 5% of their calories from fruits, vegetables, and legumes. The accompanying chart compares the amount of protein, fiber, and various vitamins and minerals found in 100 calories of baked white and baked sweet potatoes and frozen spinach. Once again, we see that Popeye was right, as spinach contains more than 6 times the amount of protein than both types of potatoes, as well as more fiber and all of the vitamins and minerals on the list. To view the complete chart, refer to the PDF at drfurman.com/ETL graphics. Cheese consumption increased 180% between 1970 and 2003, and cheese is the primary source of saturated fat in our diet. Convenience foods have probably been the driving force behind this increase. In fact, 2/3 of our nation's cheese production is for commercially prepared foods, such as pizza, tacos, nachos, fast food meals, spreads, sauces, and packaged snacks. From convenience foods to fast food restaurants, our fast-paced society has divorced itself from healthful eating. It may be convenient to pick up soda, burgers, fries, or pizza, but that convenience is not without its price. The result is that we are sicker than ever, and our medical costs are skyrocketing out of control. I insist that our low consumption of unrefined plant food is largely responsible for our dismal mortality statistics. Most of us perish prematurely as a result of our dietary folly. Populations with low death rates from the major killer diseases, like cancer, diabetes, heart attack, almost never have overweight members, consume more than 75% of their calories from unrefined plant substances. This is at least 10 times more than what the average American consumes. The accompanying graph compares the percentage of total dietary calories derived from unrefined plant food with the incidence of heart disease and cancer for the populations of 12 countries from around the world. At the unhealthy extreme, we see Hungary and the United States leading with only approximately 10% of total calories coming from plant food and 80 to 90% of deaths from cancers and heart disease. At the other extreme, we see the populations of Thailand and Laos consume 75 to over 90% of calories from unrefined plant food with nearly 10% or fewer deaths coming from heart disease or cancer. This graph brings into sharp focus the inverse relationship between the development of these killer diseases and the consumption of unrefined, natural plant food. To view the entire graph, please visit drfuhrman.com/ETL graphics. So why is this the case? Why do we see so much heart disease and cancer in wealthier societies? Is it animal products that are so deadly? Are refined carbohydrates solely to blame? Or is it just that plant foods are so miraculously wonderful at protecting us against disease? Or is it all three? Obviously, the economically poorer regions of the world have significant public health problems. Poor sanitation, poverty and malnutrition, high infant mortality rates, high rates of infectious disease, including AIDS, parasitic diseases, and even tuberculosis. However, in spite of all these things that cause an early death, if we look at the cause of death statistics from the World Health Organization, WHO, for people between the ages of 55 and 75, we find very few cancer deaths and heart attack deaths in those poor societies. The diseases of poverty are mostly infectious diseases and are found in areas of the world with compromised nutrition. Heart attacks and the most common cancers, breast, colon, prostate, are found in rich societies where nutritional extravagance is the rule. Nowhere in the world today can we find a society that combines economic wealth with a high intake and variety of unrefined plant foods. Can you imagine the health potential of a society that would be able to enjoy excellent sanitation, emergency medical care, refrigeration, clean water, flush toilets, and availability of fresh produce year-round, and yet avoid nutritional ignorance and nutritional extravagance? We have this opportunity today, an unprecedented opportunity in human history, the opportunity to live a long and healthy life without the fear of disease. This opportunity can be yours. Nutritional powerhouses, plant foods. Natural plant foods, though usually carbohydrate-rich, also contain protein and fats. On average, 25% of the calories in vegetables are from protein. Romaine lettuce, for example, is rich in both protein and essential fatty acids, giving us those healthy fats our bodies require. We will hear more about essential fats and the protein content of vegetables and various other foods in Chapter 5. Many large-scale epidemiological studies have shown conclusively that certain plant foods play a role in protecting the body against diseases that affect and kill at least 500,000 Americans each year. There is no longer any question about the importance of fruits and vegetables in our diet. The greater the quantity and assortment of fruits and vegetables consumed, the lower the incidence of heart attacks, strokes, and cancer. There is still some controversy about which foods cause which cancers and whether certain types of fat are the culprits with certain cancers. But there's one thing we know for sure. Raw vegetables and fresh fruits have powerful anti-cancer agents. Studies have repeatedly shown the correlation between consumption of these foods and a lower incidence of various cancers, including those of the breast, colon, rectum, lung, stomach, prostate, and pancreas. This means that your risk of cancer decreases with an increased intake of fruits and vegetables, and the earlier in life you start eating large amounts of these foods, the more protection you get. Humans are genetically adapted to expect a high intake of natural and unprocessed plant-derived substances. Cancer is a disease of maladaptation. It results primarily from a body's lacking critical substances found in different types of vegetation, many of which are still undiscovered, that are metabolically necessary for normal protective function. Natural foods unadulterated by man are highly complex, so complex that the exact structure and the majority of compounds they contain are not precisely known. A tomato, for example, contains